Visit Lester's on Clayton Road near Highway 40 or view Lester's menu at lestersrestaurant.com. Lester's, a sports bar that serves up great food or a great restaurant that serves up sports. You'll just have to decide at Lester's.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
my calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Timeout chairs at a corner. Now he's over to the deformed chair. The deformed chair is not going to work out. So now Opinion's got the Tim McKernan chair, which is a little short off the floor. He lifts it up. He's back up to 5'7". He moves and he scores. Frank Opinion is finally in the chair he needs.
Let me explain what just happened. I sat down in what I thought was the chair I normally sit in. And are there... I'm not familiar with everybody on this stage. Is anybody on the air here... another time of day who's really fat? Because one of these chairs, honest to goodness, is broken. Dan, is it not true that everywhere we've worked, there's been at least one huge fat person that breaks a chair?
Yep.
And then when that's broken, they break another chair.
Oh, yeah. And then they had to bring in the last place. They had to bring in, because this guy was so big, they had to bring in an extra duty, really big duty. I know I said duty.
Yeah,
a really big heavy duty chair. I said duty again.
You did.
But they and that chair got broke.
No, this guy was a chair breaker. Yeah. He was like a professional chair breaker.
Chair breaker.
Yeah. I just sat in this chair and it's cockeyed. It's like leans to one side.
Chair
like
breaker.
It's almost like if there were shock absorbers, the ones on the left just gave out. So I had to change chairs when I was supposed to be ready to go on.
I know.
Is it that woman that does that orgasms and cocktails show on Friday afternoons?
I wouldn't have said that.
Trevor, this would be a good time for technical difficulties.
No, yeah.
This would be right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
You don't run into her here.
No, I hope I don't either. She breaks chairs.
I've seen her. She's not. I said somebody really fat.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you just said. I didn't hear you say really.
Oh, yeah, see, that's now you're in deeper. You're just deeper.
Well, you know why I can say that?
Keep on digging.
The reason I can say that is
because you're quitting today.
Because I'm no. No, it's because I'm fat. And it's fat on fat crime. It's fat on fat crime and fat on fat crime.
No, he's got a point. No, he has a point.
Okay, no, yeah, he does. But like a fat man making fun of a fat woman, like it's just.
I'm not as fat as I used to be, but I probably would still be considered fat. So I'm allowed to say that about her because it's fat on fat crime. It's like if she was black and I was black, I could call her.
No,
I can call her.
Somebody take the shovel out of his hand. He keeps digging the hole deeper.
The show's starting. Tomorrow's my birthday, and I don't think I'm going to make it.
It is?
I don't. Is it your birthday?
Wait, is it really?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
How old are you tomorrow?
Wow. 49.
Only one more year to be in your 40s.
Mm-hmm. I brought in some oatmeal raisin cookies. Please have one for your
birthday. Talked about how fat I am. And now
cookie.
It's oatmeal.
Save them for the...
It's roughage.
It's your birthday. It's roughage.
It'll make you poop.
Save them for the big gal that does that cocktail show.
Wow. I'm guessing. I think there's like a 90% chance she does not listen to this.
Yeah.
She seems too sophisticated.
Well, I'm hoping she doesn't.
Yeah, that makes the two of us.
Now, this is where Tim jumps in and goes, well, she could make two of you. But he didn't do that. Oh, thank goodness he didn't do that. Good afternoon, everybody.
Randy likes her, Tim. So.
Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon on this, the 26th day of July, 2018.
Tim's last day.
Today before Tim's
last day.
Birthday. And you won't be able to, we won't be able to celebrate it on the air, so we'll just like pretend it's today.
Okay.
Last year to be in your 40s.
He'll be 49.
Yes, this means it's the last year.
Oh, gotcha.
Listen, Dan.
Unbelievable. I just said last year to be in his 40s. Dan goes, no, he'll be 49, which is exactly the same thing.
Even the fat girl in the spanking room understood what Frank was saying.
Wow, this is the great thing about Dan. He just sometimes doesn't get it.
Yeah,
he saves me. His internal calculator doesn't work. So we're glad to have you here. I on the way in today. First of all, 40 eastbound. I don't know what. I called Dan. I said, "Well, I may not even make it." I looked. I could see about 2 miles ahead of me. It was nothing but stop traffic and a bunch of emergency vehicles. And then it's one of those things where when you finally get up to it, you have no idea what it was. It's like everything has been removed, but they're still there with their lights flashing, and people are still crawling through. So I don't know what happened, but I did make it, and it didn't take as long as I thought it would. But I'm sitting in traffic, and I don't know why, but I thought of a story that I think I shared with you before a while back. But I want to do it again because sometimes I feel like, and maybe it's in vain, but I feel like I can save people, save them from, buying into some ridiculous advertising where I know it's bogus and I know what they're claiming. I know it's not true, or maybe save them from coughing up money to people who don't deserve your money. And I'm talking about evangelists and those type people. This is an absolutely true story, and it was shared with me by a guy named Joe. I'm sure Joe's listening right now, and Dan knows Joe, and Joe's been, and his wife have been on many trips with us, and I don't remember much because I've talked about it. It's like a medication I took years ago, and I don't have the ability to remember certain things, but man, I remember this. Because when he told me, it should have shocked me, but it didn't shock me. And here's the story. And then I'll get to why I think it's important people know this. When you watch, I'll start here. When you watch evangelists like Joel Osteen, he's the guy on TV who looks like he's asleep when his eyes are closed 95% of the time. It's like he's sleep preaching. Okay. And, of course, he's got a southern accent. Most evangelists do, and I don't know why, but they do. And he loves to get up and say, you know, I think it was about 6 months ago, I remember clearly, I was walking our dog, and I saw a woman, and she was crying. She was sitting on the side of the road crying, and I just walked over to her, and I said, are you okay? And she said, Joel, and he always tells the story like the person knows who he is. Joel, I'm not okay. I just found out today that I'm pregnant. I'm not married. And my parents are very strict and very religious. And Joel, I'm just afraid they're going to disown me. They're going to kick me out of the house. And I said, young lady, take my hand and let's pray. And I prayed with her, Lord, please give this young woman's parents the understanding and the compassion to realize that we all make mistakes. We're all sinners. But if we have God, those sins can be forgiven. And this mistake, this sin, could turn into something beautiful. Well, do you know that I saw that lady just last week? I just ran into her in a store, and she came up to me and said, oh, Joel, I don't know if you remember me or not. And when she started to tell me, I said, yes, I do. You were pregnant and you were worried. Well, how did that turn out. And she said, Joel, I want you to know that that prayer you prayed with me changed everything. I can't explain it, but my parents accepted my situation. And I'm now living with them, and we are looking forward to raising together a beautiful child. Thank you for praying with me. Now, that's a typical Joel Osteen story. And then if you keep watching him, the next week, you'll hear, I was in the department store just last week, and I noticed that there was a man, and I could tell he was down on his luck. And I caught him shoplifting. I saw it with my own eyes. And as he was trying to leave the store security people came, and they treated this man like he was a murderer, like he had committed the worst crime in the world. Well, I stepped in and said, if it's all right, I would like to pay for this man's clothes. And the store agreed, and they agreed not to press charges. Well, he and I had a long talk, and he told me his story. And then he goes into the whole story, and how they pray together. Now, here's where I'm headed. Our friend Joe was telling me that he went to an event. And, Joe, I might get some of the information a little, not exactly, but this is the gist of the story. He goes to see somebody who's the guest speaker. And he actually realizes he knows the guy. He had known him from years ago. And the guy delivers a powerful, powerful speech that includes his own personal story. Something that happened to him that just, I mean, the audience just cannot, wow, believe. Here's a guy who's been there. He doesn't just talk the talk. He's walked the walk. And when it was over, Joe tells me he goes up to the guy and they get kind of reading. Oh, I haven't seen you for a long, long time. And he goes, hey, man, he said, what a powerful story. He said, I never knew that happened to you. He said, well, it didn't. He said, I'm glad you thought it was a good story. I paid enough for it. There is a service, and I'm going to say multiple services, that write and create stories for speakers, and they buy them.
Wow.
And they get up and tell them as their own story. This is unbelievable.
Wow.
Comedians have joke writers.
Okay, but there's a difference.
What?
If a comedian says, I went to a bar the other day and this drunk came up, right away, it's a joke. These people are using a platform of motivation and inspiration to tell a story of something that happened to them. It never happened to them. It's a lie. It's a complete lie. It's not a joke. There's a difference. Everybody can tell the joke. This guy goes into a bar. Well, you didn't really see a guy go into a bar and there's a woman sitting there. It's a joke. But when he told me that, I thought, wow, I wonder how much of what you hear is just BS.
There was a Seinfeld episode about this.
I think there must be a Seinfeld episode about everything.
I know. Mr. Peterman, who was Elaine's boss.
He's the white-haired guy.
Yeah. John O'Hurley. He wanted to write a book, and he didn't have any good stories. He wanted Elaine to help him write this book. He didn't have any good stories, and Kramer had all these really good stories. So Jay Peterman bought all these stories from Kramer to put in his book, and then he told Kramer that he could. So Kramer started telling these stories out, and they said, you can't tell those stories. Those aren't yours anymore. You sold those. So
similar.
Yeah. So he
similar. But these people, it's very similar. They get paid. Here's what I found out. Corporations pay big money to bring in guest speakers. You're part of a speakers bureau. And I've often thought, maybe I could get in on that when this falls apart. Maybe I could just go speak. It would be mostly light. In fact, the great majority of it would be just a lighthearted story. But they'd be true. They'd be things that happened to me. I've told over the years lots of stories about my kids. They're all true. I didn't make them up and have somebody create them for me. But how about that business? And I need, maybe I could get in that business of writing stories that are just gripping. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat. Oh my goodness. How did you get out of that situation?
And they never really happen. And then I'll sell them. Yeah. And make people cry. I'll sell them to people who are hired to get up and speak. And did you know, I remember something that, Frank Caliendo told us when he was in the studio off the air. He was in town at one of the comedy clubs. And I said, well, it was a tough life. I said, because I knew how many people had seated. I knew what the admission price was. And it didn't add up. I mean, he can't be making but like a couple of $1,000s maybe. And here he's a big name impressionist comedian. He said, oh, that's not how I make my money. He said, I'm doing the comedy club because I'm in town for a corporate event. And then he proceeds to tell me, and I don't think he'd mind that I said this, because this was years ago. He said, yeah, tonight I'm doing an AT&T or whoever it was, $35,000.
Yeah, wow.
To get up and just do what he's done other places. It's already a set routine. There's a gig maybe we need to check into. But I just think that ever since I heard that true story that Joe told me, I have a hard time believing any of these people I see who get up and say, yeah, when I was, you know, when I was 12, I was in a coma for 2 years. Now, how who's going to check on that?
I mean, I'm 48 and 11 twelfths. I haven't watched a TV evangelist in...
Oh, you should.
40 years.
It's entertaining.
No, because I've always thought it was a scam. And so why do you waste minutes of your life you're never going to get back by watching this stuff?
It's not wasted. It's very educational.
Well, it's one thing to be entertaining, but you're making the premise right now in this monologue that you can't believe these people are getting away with that when you just now said that you watch it for entertainment purposes only.
But sadly, a lot of people don't. They believe every word these people say. They believe that the cloth they're buying for $5 is blessed. They really do. And that's pretty sick and pretty sad. They do. They believe it. They believe that somehow this person was called by God to preach and that he or she is anointed somehow. No, they're not. They're doing it because you don't pay any taxes. There's a lot of money in it if you're good at it. That's why they do it. That's why most of them do it. Not everyone, but most of them. That's what I believe. And I think I'm right about that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when I'm drunk, I can do a pretty good preacher impersonation. It's kind of like from Coming to America.
No, I'd like to hear it. If you can do it drunk, you can do it now.
I could probably try.
You
but,
can do it. No, you can
let
do
me,
it.
Let me see if I can get into the mood
of it. I saw Coming to America. Isn't that Arsenio Hall?
Arsenio Hall. Yeah.
Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy or somebody?
Yeah. Hall, no. Not Hall, Frank.
Eddie Murphy.
Hall. Oh.
Hall.
Okay.
Arsenio Hall.
And James Earl Jones is... Eddie Murphy's dad.
But it's been so long. I can't tell you one thing about it. I just know I saw it, and I thought it was funny.
Okay.
So let's have the... Now, who are you doing here?
No one, really. I'm just kind of doing a generic loud preacher, but I need somebody to bless in advance. Okay, bless. Would you like me to bless Dan's eyesight? You know, like ask the Lord for prayers.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
Dan's eyesight.
Yeah, bless
me. Man, how about me? I got cancer. I got prostate cancer. I'm blessing me.
And you can cure that.
Oh,
easily.
That's nothing. Let's go with Dan's eyesight.
Yeah, he's older.
You can cure it. Well, let's get that over with. Let's get that done now. Okay, Dan's eyesight.
Okay, Dan's
eyesight.
Now,
Dan has come up to you, up to the stage.
Okay.
When people come forward,
he's come to the stage.
And he stepped forward. Go ahead.
Please, Pastor Limey, bless me.
Now, Dan, I don't think you're supposed to say anything.
Oh,
this is,
okay.
This is his
thing. I just need to make sure that I do it properly.
Okay.
Lord, can you help my brother Dan here with his poor eyesight? For he is blind and he needs to see, Lord. We need your guidance. Lord Jesus, help Daniel on his path towards righteousness.
Wow.
Not bad.
Thank you. He was fun.
Kind of a southern English.
See, he does a southern preacher.
Southern English.
You do a southern preacher,
I lived there for 15 years.
Limey does a southern, but see, the only preacher I can do is a black preacher.
Well, that's all right. There are plenty of those. There's some good ones.
Yeah,
because they sing while they preach.
They do.
They sing and they chant.
They get into it.
They don't just get into the whole.
Let me tell you something. Black people know how to go to church.
I know.
They do. Mm-hmm. You want to do it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So I woke up this morning, let me tell you, brother. I walked up to my brother Dan, I said, Dan! I said, boy, you need to do something about that eyesight, brother. You got to do something about that eyesight,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. That was, oh, I wanted more.
Oh, man, I could have heard more of that.
You know, we could do one day. We could do a dramatization of an evangelist roundtable, like mm-hmm. a conference mm-hmm. of evangelists who got together to discuss the best ways to get the word out. And I'm not making fun of God. God has nothing to do with what these people are doing.
You said the word God. Like a preacher would.
God.
God.
You yeah. did. You made it. Yeah. You made it two syllables.
If you want to see somebody who did a tremendous Southern evangelist, go back and watch "Oh God" with John Denver.
Oh my goodness.
And hang on. Oh, I just lost his name.
George Burns.
No. George Burns played God.
Oh, the guy that played the
He's got a
preacher.
Daughter. He's got a daughter who's an actress. Come on here. Help me out here. She's one of the ones that came forward about Harvey Weinstein.
I can picture him because he was playing the part of like a Jerry Falwell.
Yes, type. In a white suit.
Yeah.
Now, why in the world can't I come up with this guy? This makes me
You're having
mad.
A brain fog.
I can't remember his name.
Terry Garr?
Now, Terry Garr is a female.
Was the this daughter? Who are you looking for?
The preacher. The Southern... The
preacher.
Evangelist in Oh God. You're going to come up with it within 30 seconds.
Ralph Bellamy, Donald Pleasance, William Daniels, Bernard Hughes.
Nope.
Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino.
Oh. Okay.
Paul Sorvino.
He was the Reverend Willie Williams.
And when he...
Oh, man, he was good.
...got up to preach, it was unbelievable. Now, he was up there talking, and John Denver, ladies, we have a man who says he saw God. Come on up here. And John Denver goes up there, and at first, Paul Sorvino is thinking, this guy's just helping me do my act, until John Denver starts to tell him that he did actually speak to God, and God said, you're a phony, and so are all the people like you, and he can't get him off the stage quick enough. But his evangelist, Southern evangelist, Paul Sorvino's is as good as any I've ever seen. And I guess the point here is this, that isn't it sad that there is a business of writing touching, motivating, inspirational stories, and you pretend they happen to you? Because it's more powerful to do that than to just get up and say, you know, I read about a man who, at one time, he had just lost all his limbs. They were all amputated. It's not as effective if you say it's about somebody else than if you say it's about you. Now, you can't get up and say, I lost all my limbs, if you're standing there with your arms and legs. But you can say, I was in a terrible car accident, and I was in a car. Here, let me give you an example of how easy this is to do. Let's pretend this is the, because I think Limey deep down has a little bit of a goal to like have your own show. Am I right? I
mean, yeah, eventually.
Well,
yeah.
Let's pretend you have a show and I am a guest on your show.
All right.
Because you read an article about me being in a horrible car accident. And I'll show you how easy it is to do this and do it convincingly. And you ask me the questions you would actually ask somebody. Go ahead and say, my guest is Frank Opinion. Yeah, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Frank Opinion. Please welcome him to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
May I call you Limey, or do you like that?
Of course, yes. All please, right. Call
Thank
me Limey.
Thank you, Limey. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first of all, what is your affliction? Because I wasn't paying attention fully to your story.
My affliction is what the doctors call scoriatic amnesia, and I'm not a doctor, but what it means is I have partial amnesia. I can remember, like I remember you just introduced me,
mm-hmm.
I remember that, but I don't remember a lot of stuff except traumatic things, and the doctor said that my memory of things traumatic is just like 100%.
Wow, that sounds terrible. Now,
well, it is terrible because the most terrible thing that ever happened to me, I can't get it out of my head.
Now, how has this affected your day-to-day life? Like, you know, how has this affected your sex life, if it were?
I have not had sexual relations for 7 years now. I'm not capable of it. They say that could change, but no, I'm not. And I'm happy to answer even personal questions like that.
Do you notice that there is maybe a difference in how you carry yourself in day-to-day activities?
I do, because I fall down. I fall down like 5 times a day. Just random, just boom, hit the ground like that. And I'll be unconscious for up to like 2 hours. Now, you've not asked me yet what brought this on and what caused this.
I was just about to
answer.
In 1997, my wife and I, we were traveling from Gatlinburg, Tennessee to St. Louis. We were on I-55. I remember this like it was yesterday, and a truck carrying some of those big boulders, you know, like those boulders they put in the front entrance to a resort or something, big old giant rocks. It was carrying them, and somehow they came loose, and one of them tumbled off that truck, and it came through the windshield of our car, and it, sorry, just give me a second here.
No, please, take all the time you need.
It killed my wife and crushed me, my body, crushed my chest in, and the rock hit a portion of my head. I was in a coma for, 6 years, and, when I come out of it, I just said, "Where's my wife?" That's the first thing I said.
Do you remember any time while you were inside, while you were in this coma?
I do.
What did you dream about? What did you experience?
Well, I went to hell. I know that. And I hear people saying white light and, you know, life flashed before me and a guiding hand. No. I went straight to hell. And it was, let me tell you, Limey, a place you don't want to go.
Now, why do you think you went straight to hell in this coma? I mean, you had to have kind of died if you went to hell. And you must have done something terrible, like maybe mean to
When I was 14 years old, I killed a man. I killed him dead. I killed him just to see what it was like to kill a man. And nobody ever knew I did it. He was just a homeless nobody. And I just killed him. I took whatever he had on him, and then I got away with it. And I know that's why I went to hell. That's the truth. So it's all true. And I came out of that coma, and I decided I don't want to go to hell. I'm changing my life, and that's why I have changed my life. And now I am an evangelist, and I want to spread the word. Don't do bad stuff. You will go to hell. That's my message.
That is a powerful message.
Well, thank you. And if you want to hear all of the message, I have a DVD, and I have a CD, and I have a book, and the whole lot of it, the whole package, is just $59.95. And you can make payments for 7 months if you want to. And that's available now on Amazon or in all of the Walmart stores. It's called My Story. That's what it's called. And it's true. It's all true. Thanks for having me. See how easy it is? And if somebody right now just driving through St. Louis, just going down the dial, this is tuning a radio.
Right.
Locked on 590 and just heard just that, just then they're thinking, wow, what a story. Wow. Listen to this guy. Not true. Fake. Made up. So beware, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to the Burke segment, the only other thing I want to say is it's an observation. I was shaving this morning. We have a TV in our bathroom. And so I turn on usually the Today Show. And they do local breaks. And now you're local. Now here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. And Al Roker throws it. And then they do local commercials. Here's what happened. I saw two commercials for two. One was a car dealer in St. Louis, and the other was another St. Louis business, back to back. And the first one was, "It's our summer sizzling sale." And right behind it was, "It's our sizzling summer sale." A completely different business. And in the course of, I would say, half an hour, I heard 5 sizzling summer sale commercials, either sizzling hot deals, the weather is hot, and I know John Lonoff has done this stuff, right, too. Oh, my goodness, folks, do you want to just sound like
Well, it's an easy
20 other people.
It's an easy crutch, really, isn't it? Lots of these, and no offense to
it
any
is.
Sales
no, it
stuff
is.
Out
and
it's
a semi-annual clearance sale. Exactly. There's another easy crutch.
Yeah, no, it's just something that you can fill in because, all right, this is for the listeners out there. When we do a commercial, you've got to write 30 seconds of script, all right? And what Frank just said, that could take up, what, 2 or 3 seconds. So you throw that in there, then you've only got another 25 seconds to worry about. So you throw in the company's address maybe once or twice.
You repeat
Summer
Sizzling Sale 4 times, it's half written for
like,
you.
You're done.
But semi-annual clearance sale, warehouse sale, it's our end of the season. That's our biggest sale of the all that stuff to me. If I had a business and I hired somebody and they wrote that and came to me with it, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired. That's just what 100 other people are doing. Now, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. I'd like to introduce, was that you, Limey, that said you do?
It was.
Okay. I'd like to introduce, the man who talks differently than the rest of us, Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips, it's all yours.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Nice.
That's good. Alfred Hitchcock. I know. That's good. Before you do anything, sure. Frank Gorshin, used to be a tremendous impressionist. Tim, have you ever heard of Frank Gorshin?
Nope.
Frank Gorshin was the Riddler on the Batman TV series, okay. And he was a tremendous impressionist. And for you youngsters out there who don't know anything about Alfred Hitchcock, Alfred Hitchcock's one of the scariest people that ever lived. He and Vincent Price were just scary. They were weird. And Hitchcock was a heavy set guy, had a TV show. And he'd come on and he'd say, "A good evening. I'm Alfred Hitchcock." And Frank Gorshin used to say, if you want to do Alfred Hitchcock, just open your mouth. Grab hold of one of your back teeth and say, "I've got something caught in my teeth." And it sounded like this. "I got something caught in my teeth." And that's exactly how Alfred Hitchcock sounded. So I like that thing you just played.
Thank you.
I have not heard it for, years, his voice. Didn't he do the Birds?
Was yes. That? He did the Birds, Psycho.
Yeah.
And he had a TV show, and his TV show
was very much like Twilight Zone. It was these weird situations. So go ahead.
And he always showed up. No, he always showed up in his movies.
Yeah, he was either in the crowd.
Yeah.
He a little tiny part in there.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's all yours.
Hey, you know my favorite.
I'm just kidding. Now everybody's interrupting you. Go ahead.
Two things. One, there's a new TV show on Hulu I recommend anybody to check out if you're a fan of Stephen King. It's called Castle Rock. There's 3 episodes that just came out yesterday, and it is really, 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 really good.
And
I'd recommend that.
What's it about?
It's about this area in Maine and Castle Rock Lake, and it starts off with a prison warden committing suicide.
Okay.
You have no idea why, and you find out the back history of this town, how there's all these horrible things that have happened in the past, and then for the past 20-some-odd years, it's kind of been nice and peaceful. And then they go into the prison with the new warden, and they start finding some pretty interesting stuff. So I'm not going to tell you anymore.
Okay. Stephen King is a great writer.
Incredible
writer.
Here's
my problem with him. I don't like the way he doesn't seem to know how to end anything.
True.
The endings to his stuff are just, you just kind of go, what?
That was
That's it? Yeah.
My favorite Stephen King movie was Thinner. Have you ever seen that?
Okay.
And again,
it has
disappointing ending.
It is.
But a great idea.
Yeah.
Just last night, I saw for the first time the movie It.
Oh, really?
No, this was the newest version.
Oh, okay.
That one had a clear and concise ending.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I saw it, but I don't remember it. I know the original is the kids and the clown.
You've seen the new hit. You talked about it.
Yeah, I know, and I don't remember. I don't remember it. I know I saw it. But
you went with your daughter, in case you're wondering.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
I do not remember that. But I remember I saw the first one, and I thought it was scary.
But it had a clear and concise ending, and so did Cujo.
Okay.
Some of his stuff has ended.
Oh, Cujo. For anybody who's never seen Cujo, you want to get scared to death, and you'll never be able to look at a St. Bernard again the same way. That's a scary movie. And you're right, but most of his stuff, The Shining, Thinner, it just has
Children of the Corn.
Yeah, it just has one of those endings where Thinner essentially is what a mind this guy's got. He's Dan, he has a curse put on him by an old gypsy.
Gypsy, yes.
And she just says, thinner.
No, it's an old guy, gypsy.
Okay,
old man.
Yeah, an old guy. Yeah. Thinner. And from that moment, he starts losing weight, and he can't stop.
I wish I could meet that guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's the entire town, because they covered up.
Well, hold on, the entire town didn't get thinner.
No, the entire town got some sort of curse. The police chief, the judge, because this guy, he was the attorney that got thinner. He ran over the old gypsy woman and killed her.
Yes.
And then they thought that he should have gotten some sort of stiff penalty, he got off.
Yeah. So he cursed him with this thinner thing. So this guy from that minute just starts losing weight like crazy, and he can't stop. He's just wasting away, and he eats everything inside. It's a great idea, but he didn't know how to end it, I don't think.
Well, the ending was the gypsy took off the curse and put it in this pie, and then he brought the pie home.
Don't say anymore. Somebody might not have seen it.
Okay. Well, for 30 years. I think he can give it away.
Nah.
True.
You never know.
All right. The second one is I would like to pay respects.
Stop interrupting us.
I am sorry. How dare I?
That's right. It's your segment.
The second one is I would like to pay my respects to the last surviving female World War II pilot. She died today, 101 years old.
And really? You know how many different airplanes she flew?
I don't know, but I know she flew over 1,000 missions, and she flew a Spitfire over 400 times. Can you imagine that in the 1940s, a female pilot?
Then the story I heard this morning, they misspoke because they said she flew over 1,000 different airplanes.
Wow.
So I'm going to go with missions.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's probably what I was talking about.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, all right, respect to her. And, she 101 years old, died today. I think that's, a little bit of history kind of that we shouldn't really lose.
And she should be more famous than she is. I couldn't tell you her name. We know Charles Lindbergh's name, but we don't know her name.
And in case anybody's wondering, her name is Mary Ellis. She died today, 101.
All right.
That's it. That's all I got.
Anybody else? Burke segment?
And there's a street up here to commemorate Lindbergh. It's
there
Charles.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Charles Boulevard.
No. Just let it go. Let it go.
Okay. Take a deep breath.
Anybody else for the Burke segment?
I do.
All right. This was Tim Woodburn.
Thank you, Frank.
But you were...
I went to Kirkwood Brew House right next door to our studios before the show today, having nothing for the Burke segment, I might add. And I got there a little early because the ex-cons from Hard Time were actually in studio today, so I had to go over there and get my pre-show work done.
Because you don't want to do it with them in the same building.
No, I can't be associated with felons.
No.
And so I'm over there talking to the bartender junior over there. Very nice guy. And 590 The Fan has a sales rep, and his name is Mike Calvin. And Mike Calvin is a former Olympic wrestler candidate. This guy is older than me, and he is still built like a brick house.
Oh.
I mean, he wears his shirt tucked in, which nobody on this show can say they do, except Limey.
I haven't done that in 30 years.
And wears his shirt tucked in. He still looks like he works out 8 days a week. He's got that cauliflower ear that a lot of former college wrestlers have. He was a big-time college wrestler, and he is just cut. I mean, he is cut. He suffered a spine injury a few years ago, and so he walks with a little bit of a hunch. But he is super nice guy, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, especially in the radio business.
Yeah,
and rare. And just mm-hmm. just a really nice, genuine guy, and an excellent sales rep, I might add. So I'm sitting next door at the Kirkwood Brew House, and Junior and Mike, it was kind of dead. I was really the only guy at the bar where I was having an appetizer. And
I think maybe that's why nobody was there.
Because
you were there.
No, nobody was there before I got there, Frank, so they didn't know I was coming. Well, like I cleaned the place out.
Okay.
And the guy sees Junior, the bartender next door. He sees this cut, thick, shirt tucked in, chest bunched out, Mike Calvin come walking through the outdoor patio here next door, and he looks at me, and he looks at the GM that was standing next to him, and he goes, "Oh, is that Frank?"
Far from it.
And I go, are you kidding me? I said, I'm not sure which one of you is blinder than the other one, because they both thought it was you. And I'm like, you know, and no, for people who don't know Frank Opinion, Frank's, you know, an average-sized looking guy. I guess you used to be a little heavier before I met you, but, you know,
35
pounds. You wear your shirt tucked out, you know, you are untucked, I should say, you know, you don't look like you work out 8 days a week.
I only work out 6 days
a week. Right. So there's a big difference between 8 and 6.
Right.
And I just got the biggest kick out of that.
It's two different.
And so therefore I went over and told Mike Calvin that, and he was highly offended. And he said he's never going to that restaurant again.
Yeah, he should have been offended. And here's the other thing. this guy that Tim's talking about, the best way I can describe him is, His chest and his shoulder. If you shot him in the chest, the bullet would bounce off like Superman. I'm not kidding. It's like his chest. If you ripped his shirt open, it'd be made out of steel.
Well said. Which makes it even funnier that the guy goes, "Is that Frank?"
And who was the guy who asked that?
Junior.
Oh, Junior knows who I am. Yeah. He was trying to be funny.
Yeah, but he's got Dan Strauss vision.
Oh, he must be very nearsighted.
He saw like the silhouette of a male figure walking by.
Yeah, our silhouettes are not anything else. Let's have a little chat with Junior. Anything else?
No, sir.
Dan, anything? Burke segment?
No.
All right, let's close it. Burke segment is officially closed.
If you would like to take a phone call.
I would be happy to take it.
Our old buddy from Florida.
Oh, my goodness. It's Marv.
He has a question, I think, for Limey.
For me.
Well, let's see what he wants. Marv, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Just in fact, about ready to rain up here in God's country. But, Limey.
Yes, sir.
These princes that get married, like this last one to Meghan Merkel, what are their last name? Are they Windsors or Stuart? I mean, are they all have the same last name? Who are?
I believe they're Windsor because that is Queen Elizabeth's last name is Windsor. That is Charles's last name is Windsor.
This is a great question because you know what? I've never known Harry or Charles' last name.
You don't really pronounce their last name. You never really just say their name.
Prince Harry.
Because they are like that. That is their official title to be used.
But this is a good question because they have to have a last name.
Of course. Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's Meghan Windsor?
Yeah, her name is now Meghan Windsor. Very rarely will it be. Good spot there because they have, you know, the Windsor Castle, which is their family home and all that good stuff.
Wikipedia disagrees with you.
Oh boy. Hang on, Marv.
It says that the prince's full name is His Royal Highness. Oh, and of course my...
Your computer just...
It just
went south.
Let me back page. It says that he does not... Essentially, it doesn't have a last name for him. Here it is. His real full name is... His Royal Highness Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales.
That's some driver's license.
That's great.
Earl of Chester, Duke of Cornwall, Duke of Rothesay, Earl of Carrick, Barton, Baron of Renfrew, Lord of the Isles, and Prince and Great Steward of Scotland.
What's William's name?
It's his Prince last William. Name. It might not be his official title, but his family name is Windsor. Trust me.
Oh, boy. Limey refuses to be wrong.
Well, no, it's just that that's his family name.
Prince William, all he's got is Prince William, Duke of Cambridge.
That's his title.
But if he has a driver's license, it has to say,
you're giving me the
William
names of
Windsor
his title.
Or something.
Like, what's his family name?
About if he writes a check? How does he sign it?
Yeah, that'd have to be a big check. What about a birth certificate? What does that have on it? Seriously, what's the birth?
I'm not seeing it.
The family name is Windsor. You're looking.
Okay, let me ask you this. Now they're the children of Princess Diana, right?
Right.
One of them for sure is. Yeah.
Okay. Was she a Stuart?
I don't actually. I have no idea. Tell you the truth.
Okay, that's right.
See, Limey is actually American. He was born here. He decided to run over there for 19 years.
Her last name, I'm not sure. I think she came from a decent family.
That's the question.
I have no idea what her name is.
Okay, no, that's fine because that gets very muddled over there and protracted.
Marv, of all people, you should know better.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Marv. See, I think that's a great question.
I kind of want to know her last name now.
Diana?
Yeah, because I only ever knew her as Princess Diana.
Oh, that's easy. No, I've heard her last name.
Yeah, I've heard it too.
Mr. Know-it-all.
Beats me.
Tim could look that up in a minute. Diana
Smith.
Actually, was it like a common name? Like something
it's not
gonna like,
be, please tell me it's Diana, not Smith.
You know, Williams or something.
Actually, Windsor is the official family name for any Broyish royal. British royal.
Yeah.
Edit that out.
I got you.
Later. Windsor is the official family name for any British royal who is styled Royal Highness.
Is Royal Highness, is it H-I-G-H-N-E-S-S, like how high you are, Highness?
No, I believe it's H-E-I-J-H. Nuss.
It's high nass.
Yeah, it's not.
Here's something that we've heard and said a thousand times, yet never seen it printed.
Yeah.
You're royal. I thought it was H-I-G-H-N-E-S-S. You're so high, you're royal. You're highness.
Highness. Okay, Tim,
William was in the military, and his name on his military nameplate was Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
William Windsor.
There you go. Well, you were right, Lyman.
Thank you.
Now, what is the deal with highness?
Yeah.
How do you spell?
How do you spell highness?
You're royal. Because it sounds...
H-I-G-H-N-E-S-S.
I was wrong. Wow.
It is.
Way to go,
Frank-ness.
Really? Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound right.
And I think they should change that. Because it sounds like Heine. No, it does. It doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound anything like Heine.
How about your great royalty?
Bernice would say, your royal highness.
Did you just say your great royalty?
Yeah, instead of your highness.
You're a grammar Nazi. Did that even sound grammatically correct?
It's not about grammar. It's not grammatically correct or incorrect. Like you're great royalty. Nice to meet you, your highness. Nice to meet you, your great royalty.
If you watch The Tudors, which actually was an excellent, excellent series. Sorry,
and when he says Tudors, it's okay to hit.
Yeah.
No, that other one.
You prefer the other one?
Yeah. Because when I was a kid, that's what we called it, tooting. My aunt used to say, ooh, somebody tooted. Mm-hmm.
This is T-U-D-O-R.
I know, but it sounds like tutors.
Tutors.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't say, Your Highness. They said, Y'all Grace.
Oh, Diana's last name was Spencer.
That's right.
Thank you, Christopher Taylor.
And Dan just called and said Spencer.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's probably why everybody's calling.
Mm-hmm. So much for my story. Thanks, Limey.
No, hang on, man.
We don't interrupt on this show.
Sorry. No, we sure don't.
My bad.
All right. I'll do some business. Then you can do some business. And then... next thing you know, it'll be 4:00. We have the news, and then Scott Sherman's here. What?
Would you be willing just to take it up to the top of the hour for me? Because sure. I've already moved the commercials into next hour.
No, I can do that.
Thank you very much,
Frank. I can do that, and I'll start it this way. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet has been, it's hard to say without almost singing it, has been on the show. I think we've agreed it's like 14 years now, and it does not seem that long. It seems like 4 or 5 years. It started with just a chance meeting, and I'd never met him, and that was a Saturday, and I believe Monday, 2 days later, he was on the air. And he's been on the air ever since. I have spoken over the years about 5 or 6 dealerships. One of them, the guy retired. Another of them, we mutually agreed to part ways, let's put it that way. I did not feel comfortable speaking for the dealership anymore. That was one that went by the wayside. This one is the longest. This is the longest run and relationship I've had with a car dealer. And except for the one exception, I felt really good about every car dealer that I have asked you to visit, every dealership that I've asked you to include. And I feel especially good about this one because I've probably spent more time with the owner of this one than I did any of the previous dealerships. He genuinely likes customers, all customers, black customers, white customers, female, male, young, old, first car, teenager, college car, $90,000 Suburban, or an $8,000 pre-owned vehicle. He loves meeting customers, and his dad liked meeting customers. There are car dealers who don't. In fact, I think it's usually the case that most of you will never meet the person whose name is on the dealership. That's what's common. Because it takes a lot of time to shake hands and listen to and thank customers. And you got a lot of other stuff to do. You got trucks being delivered, trucks being sold. You got to check the website, check the invoice, make the payroll. A lot to do. But somehow or other, John Landoff finds a way to meet lots of customers and shake a lot of hands. And I think that is part of the reason for the success of this dealership. And why, since 1970, selling only Chevrolets and pre-owned vehicles, not seven different lines, they've done very, very well. And I think are the envy of a lot of other car dealers.